रुक।
Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator. Welcome to Chorus Call. Please hold for an operator. Welcome to Chorus Call.
Yeah, Pranali Patil from Aiden Investment.
Pranali Patil.
From Aiden Investment. Connect me to Sheila phone conference call. Sheila.
The conference is now being recorded. Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sheela Foam's Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sonpal.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We have been newly appointed as the investor relations, external investor relations representatives of Sheela Foam Limited. On behalf of the company, let me thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the third quarter and financial year 2022. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings con call and give it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us firstly Mr. Rahul Gautam, Managing Director, Mr. Tushar Gautam, Whole-time Director and CEO, Mr. Rakesh Chahar, Whole-time Director, and Director of Sales and Marketing, Mr. Nikhil Datye, Group Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Davinder Ahuja, Group Financial Controller. Now, without any further delay, I request Mr. Rahul Gautam to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Thanks a lot. Thank you everybody else for joining in at 2:00 P.M. I know it's a bit of a odd and unawkward time, but thank you very much. As always, I will start with our vision statement. Our vision, we will continue to be recognized as a leading organization in quality comfort products while practicing values of integrity, reliability, proactivity, and transparency. To do business with a smile for customer delight and a commitment to society. Thank you very much. I think no conference or no meeting can start without reference to the current corona which is going on. It appears once again as we are going to be done with the third wave very soon. I know the Omicron variant has been rampaging around, mostly in Mumbai and Delhi and some of the bigger towns. I know it has been highly transmissible and, but the good part is that it has been low on any kind of pathogenicity. If South Africa is any example that we can take, it quickly goes up. Omicron impacts quickly go up and quickly come down. We are hopeful that the same thing or similar things would happen in India. I know that most of the Western countries, and especially one of the countries which is Australia, where we operate in, that they have taken it for granted that Omicron is going to be with them and they have to just learn to live with it. It's yielding good results except for a short time that was there. Keeping all that in mind, our expectation is that somewhere end of April or middle of May, we should be done with this variant and we should be on with the economy and with our normal life. Just to add that, in all our units and in all the company personnel, we were not very impacted by Omicron. There were a few cases, did not impact the manufacturing, production or selling part of it. Those few cases also got well soon and returned back to work. The other big event which has recently happened is of course the budget, where I know that the key word has been the infra push which the government has given, and we are very thankful for that. Now, especially for our products in the country, which are voluminous in nature and are soft in nature and voluminous, therefore transporting them is a very important aspect or key to our business. And with increased infrastructure, whether it's roads, bridges, connectivities, etc., it only helps us to do our business better. The other news which has impacted us or should be impacting us is the announcement of 400 Vande Bharat trains that is the government intends to start in the near future. And since we are suppliers to the railways for the cushioning material or for the cushions, seat cushions and for the berths, we expect that to be good business coming in the near future. The other big announcement was on the 80 lakh Avas or Pradhan Mantri Avas that was announced. And I think that that is again something where companies like us should be benefited, because eventually those houses need to be furnished and they have to become livable. As you're all aware, and the last time I had announced that we have a unit coming up in Jabalpur under a subsidiary, 100% owned subsidiary, ICT, which will be manufacturing especially mattresses for the weaker part, for the weaker society at large, and making them affordable and available. The budget did announce that the time limit for starting production in these units where the concessional income tax is available has been extended by 1 year up to 31st of March 2024. But I just want to confirm that our plan of beginning production by October 2022 still holds, and we are on track for that. Coming to our quarter three FY22 results, on a consolidated basis, on a quarter on quarter, there's been a growth of 12% and on a year on year, it's been at 30% plus. But just comparing it to the previous quarter, the growth has been, or the previous year's quarter, the growth has been about 7%, 7.5%. I know it is a bit subdued, but this is primarily on account of reduced discretionary spending that has been witnessed across segments in India. And we are very hopeful that this trend will change as the Omicron dies away and goes out. Australia for us has also been relatively flattish because, as I said, that country has adopted accepting corona and not doing lockdowns, but at the same time quarantining people, and therefore the sentiments have been not the best. And on account of these lockdowns and quarantines, Australia has experienced a little low level of performance. Spain, for us, has done well, especially on the top line part of it. And I think they accepted the corona long time back. There have been increases, but again, the low impact of corona has been well accepted by the people, and they are doing all right. As you are all aware, that all these three geographies, India, Australia, and Spain, we have new projects which are coming on stream. For India, there is the subsidiary called the International Comfort Technologies Private Limited, starting the unit in Jabalpur, and we expect that to start by October 2022. We have a new plant in Australia coming up too, that is in Adelaide. That will be the second forming line, again with a new technology, and that's expected to start by July 22. There is also substantial expansion planned for Spain and expected to come on stream by October 2022. As had been mentioned earlier, Spain being a very small part of the largest foam market in the world, that is the European Union, has very quickly reached its limits, and we need to have this expansion to now look for higher volumes and higher sales. As I said, this Q3 results may have been a bit subdued, but we are confident of ending the year on a strong note, and we are on track for our projections of the group hitting a 3,000 crore market by 31st of March. That is there. We all know, and we have discussed this many times, that our major raw materials, polyol and TDI, continue to impact us, I won't say positively, but have been relatively adverse in the last quarter or so. Fluctuations continue, and though the levels may have come down a little bit, both for polyol and TDI, but the fluctuations and the quick fluctuations, both in frequency and amplitude, seem to be impacting our business. And again, we are hoping that as this Omicron stabilizes, or the impact of Omicron stabilizes, the raw materials will also stabilize. The new areas that the company has ventured into, which is both e-commerce and exports, I am happy to share with you that we are going exactly as we had planned, and both are assuming proportions of a reasonable percentage of the company's business. And in the coming times, we hope we are expecting them to grow further. So with these words, I just want to close my opening remarks, and thanking you once again, would be ready to accept questions from your side. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nikhil Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, and good afternoon to the entire management. So three questions from my side. First is, if I look at the volume growth for the mattress business this quarter, while it was showing a good trend over the last 3-4 quarters, there has been a bit of a dip. My apologies, I think I missed some part of the opening remark in case you've covered it, but just if you could highlight on the same.
Sure, Nikhil. So I did mention this right in the beginning, that the discretionary spending has been definitely low, and therefore there has been a volume dip on that. And we have seen this across segments, but definitely in our segment we have been witnessing that.
Absolutely. If I look at performance of some of the other categories which are also, say, considered discretionary, at least in terms of how the festive and the marriage season has been, it's been a record or a decent quarter from that perspective for most of them. So from that perspective, are we seeing a different trend, or you've seen that you're saying with other mattress players, or that is the feedback you're getting from the dealers also as you're interacting with them?
So we did see and experience the marriage season, but we also know that it was the earlier marriage season, which probably witnesses marriages of more budgetary nature, and those got pushed into this. So the marriages were there, but they were definitely, you know, the mattresses were of lower ASPs and the lower value that that was sold at this time.
Sure, and does that explain the realization fall also in the mattress segment if I look at it, say, from last quarter to this? Because TDI has increased, I'm guessing some part of price increase may have played out this quarter. So is it mainly the mix change and people buying lower value mattresses?
That's right.
That's helpful. So this the last question was that I see a slight divergence in the trend of how our gross margins in the international business have moved, whereas there has been a reduction in the domestic business gross margin despite TDI going up. So can I again attribute that to the mix, given that the mattress proportion has fallen, or anything that you may want to highlight?
Nikhil, would you address that question, please?
Yeah. Nikhil, your question is more on Australia and Spain, right?
Yes, comparing the movement in Australia and Spain's margin versus our India. Generally, the trend is similar given that the prices of both the raw materials have a parity. But just that this quarter, the gross margins in the international segment are similar, whereas the domestic business has seen a fall. So any reason other than mix that is explained that?
No, apart from mix, what also happens is geography by geography and vendor by vendor, our agreements for prices are also different. So different geographies follow raw material price increases and decreases in a different pattern, depending upon, because it is all demand-supply relationship. So, and our Australia or Joyce facility has vendor agreement with 3 months lock-in for prices, so they remain protected for a little longer time. Interplus has also almost 1 month price protection. While in India, the price fluctuations has been sharp, and that has been on a much shorter duration. So raw material prices are at different level in different geographies, and their changes are also at periodicity is different. So that's where you are seeing a bigger drop in India. And obviously, to some extent, mix has also added in case of India.
This is helpful. I'll come back in the queue for this question. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So you indicated upon the e-commerce and the export opportunity. Can you indicate first on e-commerce what percentage of our volumes and value will be derived through this channel? Secondly, how do you see the competitive intensity in this particular segment? That's on e-commerce. And specific to exports, which regions are we catering to from India? So I think US is a big market opportunity which is there. Are we looking at it? Are we already receiving orders or leads to cater to that region going forward? These are the first two questions.
Thank you, Ritesh. Tushar, can you please address both the questions on e-commerce as well as on exports, please?
Yeah, can I be heard? Am I audible?
Yes,
sir, you are.
Yeah, so on e-commerce, for sure the last quarter was the best quarter that we've had till date. Within the quarter, the first couple of waves that come on the platforms were definitely superior or higher than the third wave. It did taper off as far as the third wave is concerned. I think a lot of it, including the consumer side, what Rahulji was speaking about, a lot of this also started playing out with the Omicron wave kind of going across in the country, and then people generally getting a bit conservative on their spends and things like that. There was a bit of uncertainty, at least in December. But specifically on e-com, we've had the best quarter that we've ever had with growths that are close to double of the previous year. So that side was good. On the export side, the only thing that I would say is, as far as customer development, interest in new customers coming in, of order books getting filled, all that continues to scale up month after month. We have orders well in hand for the next 3 or 4 months, and that was true for October, November, December as well. In terms of the scale up of business, and it's showing in the revenue, two important things to keep in mind. It could have been a lot better than it was in the previous quarter. We had orders in hand. Two small limitations which are easing out and are gone. We have a large capacity expansion that came on stream mid-quarter in just near our Vapi plant. So that's come on stream, and that will support the growth on the business. The other thing that was still a hindrance is a lot of supply chain issues, both from the customer's end and from our end, as far as the country is concerned. So container availability, transportation costs, shipping availability, all that was still tight in the last quarter, but it's easing out as time goes forward.
Sure. So would it be possible for you to quantify the volumes of revenues through e-commerce? The reason why I stress on this is I think the company has a benefit of being on the omnichannel side. So just wanted to understand some numbers over here and how is it that the company is actually leveraging that mode of sales.
Yeah, so I mean, instead of just a quarterly number, what I say is on e-com, we would finish the year close to 3 billion, or probably a little higher than that, in terms of revenue. With the scale up on quarter after quarter, month on month, it's still progressing.
Sure. And sir, when it comes to exports, you indicated that the order book is filling up. Is it possible for you to indicate what kind of orders are we looking at? Are we looking at or supplying to likes of IKEAs of this world? How should one understand this? Or is it more on the B2B side? How should one look at it?
So it's not the IKEAs of the world. These are large mattress furniture retailers based in the U.S. who are sourcing products from various parts of, and they are the ones who have shifted supply bases or added an additional supply base, and they're now sourcing from us, both from India and Spain.
That's useful. Sir, can I ask a few questions, or should I jump back to queue? I have a few more.
I am all right either way. We'll leave it to the moderator.
You
can go ahead, Mr.
Sharma. Yep, thank you. Sir, my other question is, you indicated that there was a bit of volume decline, and you indicated it was a function of discretionary spend. Sir, would it be possible for you to give a color on what percentage of our volume comes from Tier 1, Tier 2 and below? And when we see an element of volume decline, how does the management look at it from a downtrading perspective versus a volume growth perspective? I'm trying to understand the mix and where we sell. The reason I ask again is, if you're looking at a rural slowdown, then I'm just trying to understand that if one can make more sense to the numbers.
So, Ritesh, I do not think that based on the last quarter, we will be able to make too much out of analyzing, you know, the tier two, tier three towns versus the metros, etc. I think we'll have to probably look at a larger time frame. And I think a good way of analyzing this would really be end of the year. So when we are in the next conference, we should be in a good position to, I'm making note of this. And if I do have any data which is readily available, we will definitely have a trend, you know.
Sure, sir. Sir, one question specific to the company. The company operates on a distributor and a retailer model, which to my understanding is on a 10-30 basis. Is there any way in which the company can actually change this, reduce the number of distributors, directly reach out to the retailers? Is this something which is a possibility? The reason, again, I ask is I think a part of the competition is actually doing in a few of the regions of the country, wherein they actually get a heads up on the pricing part as well, given they eat into the distributor margin. So what are our thoughts over here?
Distributor costs are of the order of 9-10%.
Right.
And I think your question is that can we get away from that? Is that true? Is that the right question?
Yes, partly or completely.
Okay. So I think the value that is being delivered by them appears to be pretty matched, you know, whether it is there, because we are dealing with voluminous items, and we are dealing with SKUs which are huge in numbers. Therefore, warehousing, storage, relationship with the retailers. I have almost about 5,000-6,000 retailers across the country. Maintaining supply chains, etc. I know that there can be an improvement on that. But at the moment, I would say that it's pretty well balanced on the value and the cost part of it. That would be our view at the moment.
That's useful. And so one last question, how should one look at the margin profile for the company on the longer term basis? It's a fantastic product. There is a brand recall. But when it comes to pricing mechanism, given the volatility, what we see in the raw materials, how should one look at it? Is it something like one can pay on the MRP or on the discount structure? Is there a better way to understand this?
Look, it's a bit future-oriented question, but I would just say that the picture that will emerge will be completely different as soon as some stability comes in on the supply side. We don't expect these kind of fluctuations. There is nothing which confirms that these fluctuations will continue forever. It's actually the fluctuations which impact, and we should see much better margins and as soon as the back end situation stabilizes.
Sure, this is helpful. I'll join back if you have a few more. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pankaj from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. This is Pankaj Tibrewal from Kotak Mutual Fund, not Kotak Securities. good afternoon to the entire management team. On the margin side, just to extend to what Ritesh asked in the previous question, and as old observer of the company, we have seen that once you see the margins getting impacted by raw materials, once it stabilizes, you guys bounce back quite fast. Do we expect the same? Because now it's almost four quarters where on a gross margin, on a console basis, we are less than 40%. Really, it has happened in the past. So can you just help us understand how, as we move ahead, those corrections which have been made on pricing or product mix will help us come back both on gross and operating margin side? That would be my first, and I will follow with the second question. Thanks.
So good afternoon, Pankaj, and thank you very much for this question. You know, this looks like the mother of all questions, and you're quite right that for the past four quarters or a couple of quarters, we have been, the gross margin has been kind of suffering. But I just do not get tired of repeating that it's really the fluctuations part which, in fact, we have seen stabilizing of that happening. And somewhere or the other, all these things have got related to the pandemic that is kind of going on. What the pandemic brought, and you know, to the raw material side, it straight away impacted was the wild fluctuations and availability getting hampered and the prices remaining high, etc. But what took its time, or is taking its time to change, is the front end part of it, you know. And whether it is B2B business, whether it's B2C business, or it's even the direct to consumer business, it is the process, the way that prices change there. We have been pushing for it. We have been learning how to do it. And I must say that we are wiser from 4 quarters back. And today it would not be the same. So all I can say is that this is a very undesirable situation. We are trying to change that, but at the same time hoping that this back-end instability kind of goes away, and we should be in a much better position in another quarter or so, you know, or another 1 or 2 quarters. Definitely will be in far better position.
Great, great. I'm glad to hear this. The second question is on the demand side. You alluded to the fact of a bit of a volume decline, which seems to be quite surprising when we look at some of the other companies in the same, not in the same space, but driving a demand from real estate, driving a demand from home improvement and stuff, which are paying styles, which have reported quite a bit of good revenue growth and volume growth. Where do you think there has been a departure on that side? Whereas we see the unsold inventories in real estate at 8-year low, but that is not translating from a demand perspective on our end. So any color on that would be helpful, because it seems to be slightly different from other building materials companies. Thank you.
So 2 points from my side, Pankaj, on this. Number one, that the volume drop that we are comparing it is with the corresponding quarter about a year back. That time there was a pent-up demand that was being catered to, you know, because the country had been on a lockdown for almost a year, suddenly it kind of opened up. That was the quarter three of last year. So we are comparing to that. That did very well, and therefore, it has that little denominator impact as far as this quarter is concerned. The other point that we have analyzed at our end is that the real estate market definitely has looked up and sort of selling. But the furnishing of material inside, it does take at least 3 to 4 months or 5 months before that begins to happen. So we're, as I said, that we are looking at now and the immediate future to be catering to all those needs and requirements.
Okay. And last question, if I can squeeze in. On the capital allocation side, now with Jabalpur coming in, what are your thoughts on incremental capital allocation in the business? It will be really helpful to understand that part.
Nikhil, would you respond to that?
Yeah, sure. So Pankaj, for capital expansion, both or at all the three places we are doing capital expansion, Spain, Australia, as well as in India, it will be a combination of internal accruals and external borrowings. Obviously we would take some external borrowings considering the rate of interest are at low levels. So we leverage both, and the combination of two will be used. So does that answer or?
No, I was not going on the absolute numbers. But what I was interested in the direction where the company and the management is thinking about the incremental cash flows to be deployed, either in M&A or organic business post Jabalpur and Spain expansion, where would the incremental cash flows be deployed in the business?
So obviously, you know, the accruals will be used first for CapEx. You know, we are also always working on some acquisition opportunities, and some cash has been for those opportunities as and when they materialize. So definitely that's on the cards. Timing will be difficult to predict, but that is one of the outlays for which it will be used. And third will be, we are also evaluating how do we utilize it for dividend payments. So those are the broad three outlines for deployment of cash reserves.
Great. Thank you so much, and wish you guys all the best. I'm sure we will emerge much stronger post once the raw material volatility settles down. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Devish from DS Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. My question was a little bit, you know, mid to long term. I wanted to get your thought process in terms of how do we see, you know, from here to 3+ years. Broadly speaking, you know, the way I was hoping is that we are looking at four engines, right? One is B2C and second is B2B, India. One is consumer facing and institution. And then we got Australia and Spain, right? In your thought process, which would be, you know, the engines which would be more stable or mature relatively, which would be the engine that would grow faster and where, you know, an incremental push would be higher from our side? Just wanted some long-term thought process.
Thank you, Dinesh. So in a 2-3 year time frame as we are looking at, let me just spend a minute each on all of them and on all four of them. As far as Spain is concerned, we've always been of the view that it has an extremely small share in the largest market in the world, which is the European Union. Our market share is close to about 1%. Therefore, and we are in a low-cost manufacturing economy, therefore the opportunity to increase and grow from there is large. Besides that European Union market, we are ideally placed for exports to the U.S., just across the Atlantic. And then there is also the on the southern side, the North Africa part that's there. So Spain, I see a lot of growth, let's say 2-3 years time, should really be looking at about now 50% or upwards of 50% as an increase in the same part of it. We are already investing there to increase the capacity. Australia is a very stable, matured market. We see that maybe a 5% per year kind of growth there that would be happening. But one thing that the corona thing has definitely done there is that what they were outsourcing a lot from outside, those products will now be manufactured or at least assembled in the country. And therefore, I do see that the standard 3-4%, 5% kind of growth will change into probably double digits in the coming 2-3 years time. And we are preparing for that again with another unit there in Adelaide. We had a primary unit in Sydney. Now we have one more coming up in Adelaide, which will be able to sort of cater to the extreme west side and also cater to some new customers that will come in. As far as the Indian part is concerned, both B2C and B2B. B2B, we are dependent completely on the receiving industry. So whether it's the shoe industry, the helmet, the furniture, the mattress, sound absorption, filter, those the growth depends completely on the requirement of the growth of that particular industry. Those industries are all poised to grow. We've seen those kind of sentiments in the past few months, and more so after the budget, and therefore we would be participating in this. On the B2C side, besides the standard growth of in the market that we are operating in, just to sort of step back, 65-70% of India still sleeps on some kind of dari, chatais, or kind of cotton mattresses. The modern mattress market is only about 30%, and the organized mattress market is only 10% or 10 out of the 30% that is them. That's the area that we operate in. Of course, there is a movement from the unorganized to the organized that is regularly taking place. But going back to the 65-70%, that is what we intend to service post Jabalpur coming into operation, both from prospects of availability of the product as well as the affordability of the product. Those have been the two banes for these kind of products really to grow, and that's exactly what we answer. And so in 2-3 years' time, we expect that to be a large business. That's generally overall picture that we see in 2-3 years' time.
Great. Thank you for the answer. It's quite helpful. Just slight deep dive on the Spain bit. Like you called out, it's a good opportunity, and I believe with China exports coming under some taxation from US, and do you see the margin profile of this export as well as the EU side of things being similar profile to India B2C business?
Definitely. I see that as improving. Nikhil, answering another question before, he did mention about the way these raw materials change. So if you would, if I just reiterate, Australia, the raw material prices are stable for a quarter. They change once in a quarter. For Spain and Europe, they change once a month. In India, they change once a week, almost. When I look at the last couple of years or many years in Spain or Europe, see, the prices have changed about 2 times a year or maximum 3 times a year. And that's precisely what the consumer or the customer is also used to. And if here we had prices changing 12 times a year, it was extremely difficult to start even talking to the customer and say that, and now I'm going to change it every month. And that has been the bane. These will stabilize. There is no reason why it will not, because the supply and demand is pretty well matched now and for the next 5 years. The new capacities that are coming in and the demand that is existing or will extend to. Therefore, the fluctuations kind of going away, this margin will definitely increase. It will definitely go up. What you see, I think it's been of the order of 24-25%, while we have hovered around 35-40%. That's where, close to that, that's where it should be.
Sure. Thank you. That answers my question. Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. As I was listening to the your con call, and you stated that we are expanding across the region. So what is the overall capex that we are incurring, and how much this will help to increase our capacity, and what will be the potential revenue that we may that we may fetch from the overall capacity expansion?
Nikhil, you want to take that question?
Yeah, sure. Philip, you know, as far as India is concerned, so it's a new manufacturing facility, and that is being built to address white space, which Rahulji talked about, mattress for every Indian. So that's a big facility that's going to expand our sales category called mattress for every Indian, and it's a huge opportunity available. He was talking about unorganized market and accessibility is an issue. So I don't want to put a number to it yet, but this is one of the largest manufacturers we are putting, and that will cater to this white space. And you will see once the capacity is available and our sales plan starts folding, it will be a good revenue booster for the overall Indian business. As far as it's concerned, obviously, around 30% capacity expansion will happen, and that will cater to the demand currently we cannot fulfill because of capacity constraint. And Australia, to some extent, is a matured market, but new capacity will to create BC and have an additional facility available when we model uses. So that's the way I would expect these three capacities to pan out.
And so actually your line was breaking in between. So for Australia, how much capacity expansion that we are incurring in terms of percentage, how much we are increasing the capacity?
So it's a new plant that is being built, and the objective of that plant is one, to create a BCP for plant. And
Mr. Nikhil, we cannot hear you, sir.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Nikhil.
Am I audible now?
Yes,
sir.
Okay, so what I was trying to explain, Philip, as far as Australia is concerned, Australia is a matured market. The additional capacity will help us as a business continuity plan and capture additional market share from the competition. So it's going to be of similar size of our existing capacity.
Okay, so what is the overall capex that we are incurring for this three plant?
So that would be in the range of around 300 crore.
Okay, and so what will be the asset turnover that we are expecting from overall 300 crore?
You know, it would be in the range of, I mean, it will have its own maturity curve, but in the steady state environment, it would be anywhere between around 4-ish. Will be the turnover.
So around 200 crore.
Yeah.
Okay, and sir, what kind of peak margin that our business can achieve maybe in long run?
I think Rahulji in his earlier comment, answered that. Once we have a stability in the commodity prices, I think margins will definitely bounce back, and we are sure that in a couple of quarters that should happen once supply chain side of raw material stabilizes.
Okay, but sir, over a period of time, sir, we have seen from single digit to now almost mid-teens kind of a range. Okay, so do you believe that there is again a room to improve further from the FY21 level of 15% that we have achieved?
I mean, yes, it is doable, and it will be a combination of gross margin going up with stability of raw material, and also economy of scale coming in. So as we grow in our sales, we will have leverage from our fixed costs also. So that will give that additional bump up for the net margin. So I believe that that's doable. and the ambition is to go in that direction only.
Okay, sure. And just last one question on the working capital side. Sir, in last 2 to 3 years, we have seen, maybe a decline in the working capital days, deterioration in the working capital days, sir. So any guidance, maybe, in coming years to bring down to a particular level?
So when you say decline in the working capital, can you...
So I was talking about there is some kind of a deterioration in the overall working capital cycle. So maybe in FY 18-19, the overall working capital days was between 35 to 40 days. But as I see in FY 21, it went up to 70 days.
Yeah, that's predominantly because of increase in the raw material cycle. In terms of quantity of inventory, what we used to hold,
okay,
pretty much the same, but the rate has almost doubled.
Okay, so this may again normalize.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants are requested to press star and one to ask a question now. The next question is from the line of Anil Nahata, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My couple of questions are there. The first question is on the 9-month revenue and the profit after tax, particularly from outside of India. While the revenue has increased by around 20%, the PAT has almost declined by 50%. While I understand there could be some gross margin pressures, but as you explained that in the prices of the raw material is quite stable in Spain, in Australia, then why are we seeing such a huge decline in PAT?
Nikhil?
Yeah. So your question is referring to the any specific company? Is it Australia, Spain?
Yeah, outside India, because in your segment results you have given outside India as consolidated. You have not given separately Australia and Spain.
Okay. So for Australia entity, there is some change in accounting because of which there is a decline. And also as we are expanding the capacity, some rentals have gone up. It is and finance cost also has gone up. So if you look at independently just the business outside India, that is one of the reasons that PAT has gone down.
So, I mean, that is one part. And Spain, is it also gone down or Spain is stable?
As I see, in terms of Spain, there is not that kind of decline. It's more of Australia story.
My second question is on the growth part of the story. In your annual report, you had mentioned that the spring mattress business is probably the highest growing segment. I just wanted to understand what is our play on the spring mattress, what kind of market share we hold, and how are we poised to address this opportunity of higher growth in the spring mattress compared to the rest of the market.
Rakesh, can you please take that question?
Yeah. So you're right. Spring is a high growing segment, but it is growing more in south and west. In north and east, it is still not acceptable as alternative mattress. As far as our play is concerned, we have reasonable presence in the. In terms of the product portfolio, but our main focus is on the foam side. So because we have EBOs, we have exclusive outlets. So our main focus is on the promoting foam mattresses, because we believe that in Indian kind of condition, especially when the sizes are multiple, a foam mattress is far more adaptable than a spring mattress. So it's a basically, once the consumer comes in, consumer is not very fixed on a material and is looking for guidance of the right mattress. So generally we promote foam mattresses. Is that good enough?
So I understand one part of that, that our company believes that foam mattress is a market to go after, but that addresses north and east, as you said. On the south and west, and it's because spring mattress is a higher growing thing, I mean, won't we be losing market share if we don't go after that segment in a more aggressive manner?
So we are doing that. So in south and west, we our portfolio of spring is stronger compared to north and east. So we are doing that.
Okay.
Rakesh, I'll just add to what you said. You see, spring is the fastest growing node, undoubtedly, but it's also on a very, very small base. And therefore, what it adds every year as a volume to it is still extremely small compared to what is added on the foam side. And foam, the percentage of growth may be lower, but the quantum is quite large for growth. And therefore, you know, our natural affinity being more towards that side, we tend to go after it. Of course, we have spring in our portfolio and all. But it is on a very small base, and therefore, any kind of growth looks big on it.
Okay, thank you, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much for the follow-up. Sir, I just had one clarification. For the e-com revenue share, revenue, what figure did we mention?
Tushar?
So e-com this financial year, I said, will be closing a little above three digits, which would be about more than double of the previous year.
Sure. And this is all mainly SleepX, or it is equally split between SleepX?
Mainly SleepX, yes.
This is helpful, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Shah from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, you stressed upon affordability and availability as focus areas on the B2C side. Can you highlight two things? One, how is it our distribution place, and what is it that we are planning incrementally, given we have Shoppers, Galleries, and World? How this mix can actually change going forward? So one was on distribution, and secondly, when you stress upon affordability and availability, wherein you indicated that it would be a large business going forward, how should one look at it from a margin standpoint? Is downgrading the risk over here? I think it won't be the case, given it is something which by design we are doing it. So how should one understand this two variables?
Ritesh, I must confess, I'm unable to hear you clearly. I don't know if it's a connectivity issue, but is there a chance that you could...
I'll repeat the question. Sir, you stress upon the fact of affordability and availability, incrementally, specifically you indicated on the Jabalpur expansion. So two related questions over here. One on the distribution side, we have Shoppers, Galleries, and World. How that mix can likely change going forward, given the segment that we are looking at incrementally? Are we aligned to that? That's the first question. And the second question is, you also emphasize that we are looking at a significantly large business focusing on affordability and availability. Does it mean that the margin profile will be in trend with what we are doing right now, or would that be any risk over there?
So, both on the affordability and the availability part of it, let me just say that we probably will have to look at to make that happen, you know, both to save money on the transportation side as well as to save on the distribution cost. I think we will have to look at some alternate ways of reaching to the consumer. We have some ideas and some thoughts. They are being trialed at the moment, and that will not be at... it will definitely not be at the expense of existing Shoppies and Galleries and the Worlds that we have. They will continue to sell what they are, and the story that, not the story, the whole process there of adding value and of getting better products, that will kind of continue on that. I'm sorry, and the second question I didn't hear very well again. You'll have to repeat it.
So the second question was on margins, but before we go into that, sir, can you please elaborate a bit more on the distribution side? Can you give certain number of touch points that we already have and what we intend to grow, as we probably would look to go more aggressively into tier 2 and below as we put up new capacities?
I think, as I'm understanding you, for these kind of products, the channel will have to be completely different. The touch points will have to be completely different. And as I said, I'm not in a position to discuss exactly how it will be, but probably another 3 months' time we should be having it. But the touch points will be different.
Sure, that's useful. And sir, the second related question was on how should one look at the margin profile, given as we focus on affordability and availability.
So I don't think the margins would be under stress for doing something like that. I think the volumes should help ensure that the margins are intact. Plus the newer ways that we are exploring of reaching the product.
Okay. And so in the initial remarks, you touched upon 400 Vande Bharat trains. I just wanted to understand, do we already cater to Indian Railways, and incrementally, what is the scope of basically 400 Vande Bharat trains, how much it can add on a tonnage or revenue basis?
Rakesh, can you just respond to that, please?
Yeah. So we are already supplying to Indian Railways. And these Vande Bharat trains are modern trains with better cushioning material, better aesthetics. So therefore the use of foam both in the chair cars and in the sleeping berths is likely to go up. But they're made for better comfort for the consumer. So how much will it go? So there is a changeover currently happening from a existing material which is used for cushioning to a polyurethane foam material. It's a technical polyurethane foam material which is replacing the existing material. So that transition is on. It will take time, but eventually all cushioning will be of polyurethane foam.
Is this only for Vande Bharat or is it for all the trains? If it's for all the trains, it's for all the trains.
Wow.
So this is something which can actually be pretty huge. Is that understanding right?
Yes, it will be.
Okay. Probably, sir, I'll speak with you to understand this in more detail offline. Thank you so much. That's a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Gautam for closing comments.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for conducting it and for moderating this conference. And I must thank each one of you who participated in this and the incisive questions that you have been asking. And let me tell you that in spite of whatever 40, 50 years that I've been in the business, every time this interaction is a learning exercise, and your comments and suggestions are absolutely well noted and taken care of. In case we have not been able to respond clearly to a question that may have been raised, please feel free to connect up to our CFO, Nikhil, and we will try to respond on a one-to-one basis, either through a mail or through a talk over the phone. We hope and pray that you and your families remain safe and sound during these crazy times, and these times come to an end quickly. As I see it, and especially after the budget that was presented 2 days back, I see very interesting times, and we hope to We hope to be discussing the future more, and the not so good times would be behind us. So thank you very much, and we'll see you again in 3 months' time.
Thank you. On behalf of Vodafone Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.